All right, here we go. The name is Dr. Murali Doris Swami, head of the Division of Biologic Psychology at Duke University Medical Center. And I'm going to quote him. If thankfulness were a drug, it would be the world's best-selling product with a health maintenance indication for every major organ system. That may not mean much to you, but what he's trying to say is, when we have thankfulness and gratitude, it benefits each and every organ. I'm trying to think, would the pituitary be exempt? No, it benefits. How about the thyroid? Yep, thyroid's going to benefit. What about the breast tissue in a woman that has breast problems? Yes, absolutely. Psychologist Robert A. Emmons of the University of California, Davis, and Michael E. McCullough of the University of Miami, in a study of gratitude or appreciation, what they did was they asked all participants to write just a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things they were grateful for and that had occurred during the week. That's all they did. A second group wrote about daily irritations. That's called complaining. And the third group wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis on whether positive or negative. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude felt better about their lives. They also, and just get, this is maybe a byproduct, so just kind of soak it up here. They also exercised more and they had much fewer visits to physicians. All right, another leading researcher in this field, Martin E.P. Sigelman, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania. He's kind of a famous dude. He's written books about what you believe, how it affects your body. They tested the impact of various weekly positive psychology interventions on 411 people. I realize that's kind of wordy. Each was compared with a control assignment of the same people writing about early memories. When their week's assignment was to write and personally deliver a letter of appreciation, that's a part I'm getting to that I think is important. When they wrote a letter to deliver a letter of appreciation to someone who had never been properly thanked for their kindness, they said that participants had a huge increase in happiness scores, with benefits lasting for a month. To me, that's very interesting. Someone has done something for you, and you decide, you know what, I just really didn't properly thank them, I didn't show as much appreciation or gratitude. Maybe that's what prayer is sometimes. Just stating how thankful you are for all the wonderful things that God does for us. Sometimes we don't even know all the good things that He does for us. We just know that we're alive and breathing, and we haven't been utterly destroyed. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. And if you want to call and ask me a question or make a comment, please feel free to do so. I'll pick up the phone line right away and answer your question. Or at least I'll try to the best of my ability. All right. Ready to go on to Plan B? Here we go. This is really not Plan B. It's just going to happen every time we have changes in the weather. If we go from 75-degree days down to 30-degree days, yes, these are simple. These temperature fluctuations, they're going to put stress upon your body. I was reading where the word immunity came from. Supposedly, the word immunus is a Latin word. That's how we derive our word immune system. And supposedly what that word means in the Latin, it means untaxed. Well, or maybe another different way of saying it would be it's unburdened. Now, how do you like them apples? Would you like to have an immune system and a body that's unburdened? Or would you like to have a viral infection? I've kind of observed, and it's an easy observation, that if you want to get a person from radiant to feeling very, very exhausted and tired, a chronic viral infection will do that. There's not many things that just really exhaust the adrenal glands like a viral infection. What if you have been sick for 6 months, and the doctors get prescribed every antibiotic known to man, and of course antibiotics, those result in trying to kill bacteria, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, what if you're not any better? What if it's not a bacteria? What if a bacteria is not the primary problem you have? What if it's a virus? Ever thought about that? So, you know, I realize that there are some viruses that are probably very good for us. I know in the plant kingdom, some viruses have been shown to greatly improve crop yield. You get more tomatoes when there's certain viruses in the plant. But you and I know at the same time that there are some viruses that are very toxic and that are very bad, like the AIDS virus, or the virus like hepatitis B that would cause cirrhosis of the liver and liver damage, hepatitis. Well, let me read this to you right here, and you tell me what you think about it. In a recent study from Australia, researchers found that 180 milligrams of a garlic extract called allicin, it reduced cold incidence by over 50%. Folks, I don't know if you really think the number 50% is a good number or not. If you told me you have a stock in a company called Johnson & Johnson and the stock price increased by 50%, or your profits increased by 50%, or your health improved by 50%, or your gas mileage improved by 50%, or you got a 50% raise, or you feel 50% better, or you're 50% happier, well, that's kind of a significant number, don't you think? So they found that just a little bit of garlic, there's an extract from garlic called allicin, reduced cold incidence by over 50%. You might want to store that away, folks. Also, research review found that children given between 1,000 and 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, and this is, I'm certain, it's just regular standard ascorbic acid, which is not what I want to call the whole vitamin C. It's just a small antioxidant wrapper around the vitamin C molecule. But when researchers gave children between 1,000 and 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, there was an average of an 18% decrease or shorter colds. Interesting, okay? Another review found that if zinc was taken, you talk about a cheap supplement. If you were to go to the health food store and say, I'd like to buy a roll of zinc lozenges, I think that's what, less than $1.50, maybe $1.25. You can get like a big roll of zinc lozenges. It says another review found that zinc that was taken within 24 hours of the appearance of cold symptoms significantly reduced the duration of a cold. Which, aren't colds technically caused by a virus primarily? Yeah, absolutely. Well, am I suggesting that maybe allicin from garlic, or a water-soluble vitamin called vitamin C, or a mineral called zinc, could those have antiviral properties? Bingo, you just figured it out. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. I have a couple issues I wanted to ask you about. And these are pretty, I guess, pretty normal stuff. But I didn't want to go the conventional way, see what you had to say. I have high blood pressure. I'm not taking any medicine or medication or anything like that. My second problem or symptom, I guess, is I have to get up twice a night to urinate. I'm 56 years old, and I guess my question is the second issue, is that pretty common, or is that something that is because of some other problem?
Well, let me say it this way. If have you ever heard of a blood pressure medication called a beta blocker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what a beta blocker, if we just kind of flesh out the whole term, it means a beta adrenergic receptor blocker. So what a beta blocker does is it prevents your own body's production of adrenaline from attaching along those receptor sites in the lining of the arteries. So you tell me what would happen to you if you were standing in the parking lot of Walmart right now and the zoo was coming through town and they released their lions and tigers and hyenas and they decided that you would be like a good breakfast. What would you think about that if they were like 100 yards away snarling and growling at you and running towards you? Would that make you feel pretty calm and relaxed, or would you maybe get like a little bit of adrenaline rush there?
Yeah, I would say I'd be hightailing it for my car.
But see, you're a good negotiator, though. You could probably talk some sense into the wild lions, right? I had a story that I was going to tell, but I decided that I better not tell the story about the animal running toward me. Anyway, I had a firearm in my hand. What was I supposed to do? Wait, going back here. So a lot of the blood pressure medications that are prescribed, they just do one thing. They're trying to block the effects of adrenaline upon your body. This is adrenaline that you produce. So let's just kind of play through that topic just for a second, okay?
All right.
When you say your blood pressure is high, can you give me a number?
Yeah. In fact, I just checked it. It's about 140 over 100.
Okay. Let's tackle the lower number first, all right? Because I don't know that this is a bad number at all, but you're saying it was 140 points over 100, right?
Yes.
Okay. The lower number is called the diastolic. And to a large degree, the diastolic is going to be a reflection of your kidneys. And one of the roles of the kidneys is to filter your blood. I know it does a whole lot more than that, but probably 80% of blood pressure control is how well the kidneys make hormones like renin and angiotensin, and how well they, remove salt from the body, if you want to play that angle, which I'm convinced that's a non-issue. But if the number 100, that kind of points toward there might be some stress on your kidneys. And maybe a different way of saying this, and I can assure you I am not trying to be negative today. I want to encourage you and lift you up. But you got to take this seriously, and that's what you're doing, because at the number 100, the lower number, anything above 90 means your heart never gives a chance to even rest. What's supposed to happen is it's supposed to rest in between beats. So technically, if your blood pressure was 120 over 80, just as a standard number, well, because the diastolic is 80, that means your heart's actually getting a chance to fully rest in between beats. I don't want to, like, overthink that sophisticated thought, but how your heart rests in between beats, but it does. That's God's grand design. And so if the lower number is 100, that means your heart is just not getting a chance to rest, so the quicker that we can tackle this, the better. Now, if you tell me you lay down at bed at night, do you fall asleep just very easily?
Instantly.
Okay. But do you wake up wide awake to get up and go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay, how long are you awake before you drift back off into sleep again?
Right away, I go right back to sleep.
Okay, but then again, it's a little while later, like a few hours, your body says, uh-oh, time to get up again, we have to empty the bladder.
It's like every 3 hours.
So do you feel really refreshed when you wake up in the morning?
You know, I usually do. I mean, I've always been a morning person, and my wife's complete opposite, and her blood pressure is actually a lot lower than even normal. And she's not a morning person at all.
Well, she probably has a much clearer, cleaner conscience than what you do.
Yeah.
No, so here's what we want.
Okay.
If I had my preference, and if you had your preference, you'd assume not to get up at all, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's several ways to approach this right here. One thing that can happen is when you have a little bit too much adrenaline coursing through your veins, your body can decide it's a good idea to, filter more urine, which technically your kidneys are supposed to rest at night along with you. So if your kidneys put in a good, 15 hours of work throughout the day cleaning your blood, we kind of want them to go into a deep sleep mode along with you while you're sleeping. You don't want them forming urine all night long. So one of the ways that we want to do this is trying to get rid of the excess adrenaline. So if you don't do anything called exercise, it might be a good idea to start doing something, because exercise burns off adrenaline. Or it helps your body just naturally get rid of it, and there's no cost with that at all. Another technique that I like very much, and I'm sure your wife is going to be really, really happy. Is she listening right now?
No.
Rats. I mean, so you can just relay this information to her, right?
Yeah, I can.
One of the techniques for getting rid of excess adrenaline is just physical touching. So,
oh, okay.
So I mean, you can just say, Dr. Morgan says you should give me a back massage and rub my feet, sweetheart. And I'm sure if she hears that I said that and recommend it, she's going to say, finally, I've been waiting for just the right information to give myself permission to start doing that.
Huh.
Because in the past, you've been resisting her hugging and kissing you, right?
Yeah, I will tell you, this was just kind of interesting you said that. I only got up once last night,
and
we exchanged back rubes.
Which I'm not trying to oversimplify. Okay, I am trying to oversimplify. But physical touch is very good. So whatever level of hugging and kissing and touching that you like and she likes, that's my recommendation. Now, the other stuff, and I don't know that I have a magical formula here, but let me just kind of go through some things. We want to stop the excess adrenaline, so because we want to see your blood pressure change. So let me cover some simple techniques, and these are the easy things. I am a firm believer that a person needs to take vitamin C. Now, my preference is vitamin C that comes from, you can get it from Acerola cherries. You can get it from a plant called Camu Camu. That's not Camo Camo. It's easier for me to remember that way, but it's called Camu Camu, C-A-M-U. There's rose hips. There's whole vitamin C, the kind that I probably use more of than any other just because it's probably, at the end of the day, it's more cost-effective and just works better. I just get whole vitamin C that's extracted from organic oranges. But you can get it from a plethora of sources. But ascorbic acid, that's just high fructose corn syrup. That's all it is. Maybe not be the best strategy, but vitamin C plays a role in how your body eliminates excess adrenaline. Another thing that I would look at is the use of magnesium. And so, if you have some stress on your kidneys, I need to try to find out what's the cause of the stress on the kidneys. Now, I can tell you, if you want to have your adrenal levels go up, there's one thing you should do. Eat more sugar.
Okay.
So, if you want your adrenal levels to go up and your blood pressure to go up, I recommend lots of sugar. If you can tolerate a little bit of sugar, no problem. But if you're getting up twice a night, that might be one of the greatest tests that you can do, is just eliminate all sources of refined sugar. I didn't say to eliminate blueberries or strawberries or... Actually, have you been to the grocery store lately?
I have not. My wife does all that.
Well, mine does too, but I had to run to the store last night. The bananas, 99% of all the bananas on the, on that little bitty display, kiosk or whatever it's called, they were the big, long variety. But I saw like three bunches of teeny tiny bananas. Now, that's what I think of as real bananas. But those small bananas, that didn't make your blood pressure go up. And so whole vitamin C, magnesium, zinc, potassium. When you get potassium, I don't even think it's possible. I mean, I might be kind of a hardcore person, unless you're taking maybe the rare drug that messes with your potassium levels. I don't even see how you could overdose on potassium by getting it from bananas or apples or avocados or sweet potatoes. Literally, I've never seen that. And I've only had 27 years of looking for potassium overdose. It just hadn't happened. But both magnesium and potassium, they play a role in helping to give tone, or they nourish your nervous system. And what you want is you want to help improve the tone of your parasympathetic nervous system. And if that's the case, you won't get up as much at night. Now, sometimes, and I'm a huge fan of using whole food B vitamins, but I hate to say it this way, but this is just the way I remember it. There is a vitamin called vitamin B1.
Mm-hmm.
And it's technically called thiamine. If you ask the Food and Drug Administration official what's thiamine, they're going to say, well, that's thiamine. It comes from corn or from coal tar or something like that. That's not really what I'm referring to, but when you get thiamine, it might come from liver pills or calf liver extract or carrots or beets or something like that. thiamine really does tone the bladder and the nervous system to where it can heal. And so one observation that I can make with a B vitamin deficiency of thiamine is a person just doesn't have to get up all night long. Now, obviously, I haven't examined you, but I hadn't even talked about the kidneys yet, but when you're trying to improve the kidneys, you might even try just 1/4 to maybe 1/2 teaspoon of just plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda short term to see if your blood pressure goes down. Now, technically, in the laboratory, this is what they do to make blood pressure go up. They just increase insulin levels. Anything that causes insulin levels to increase within your body is just going to beat the tar out of your kidneys. And it's just a matter of time until they break down. Now, personally, it's much easier trying to take care of a person's kidneys before they're broken down. Now, I hate to admit this, but I'm just telling you what my limitations are. Once a human being has been dead for about 30 days, I've found that my techniques don't really work at that point.
Yeah.
I kind of have to do it before that point if I'm going to get a big bang for the buck. Would you agree with that?
Yes, definitely.
You're just choosing to believe me, right? So what you want to do is you need to see a significant change, but if you go to a doctor and you have a blood test done, if your fasting blood sugar is 89 or above, that would be an indication to me that your insulin levels are too high. If your total cholesterol is above 210 or 20, that would be another indication that your insulin levels are too high. If your blood pressure is elevated like yours, that's a pretty good indication. But then again, when you have too much adrenaline, what does it do? It increases blood sugar in the bloodstream because you're preparing to run from that pack of wild hyenas that want to eat you. By the way, my techniques are very good at defeating hyenas until they bite me. After they bite me, I've pretty much determined I'm not that effective at defeating hyenas. I would just soon... by the way, I was thumbing through a magazine a while ago, and it showed... Well, I thought it was a thing of beauty. It showed two T-bone steaks and asparagus. They weren't cooked yet. I thought, man, I could go for that action. There's a meal for you right there, a T-bone steak with asparagus.
Well, that sounds good to me.
And so these are things, and just tell me. Just tell me what works for you. But usually try to avoid sugar. There's a technique that most people have never heard of. It's called thinking about 14 things at one time. It's called multitasking.
Right.
I'm horrible at multitasking. I'm telling you, man. I know myself well. I can do one thing at a time. That's it. Just one thing.
Yeah.
And so multitasking always generates more adrenaline. You tell me, would you rather just calmly focus on one task at a time, or do you want to be so nervous and worn out and jittery from trying to do 40 things at one time?
I do not want to multitask. It's terrible.
Well, it is for me.
No, it is for me, too.
I appreciate you saying that. There is a tea that you can buy called hibiscus tea.
Uh-huh.
And I would venture a guess that in almost all studies where they compare hibiscus tea against blood pressure medications, the hibiscus tea wins. Number one, it tastes better than blood pressure pills. If you chewed up a blood pressure pill, you're going to tell me they don't taste so good. But if you sip on hibiscus tea, you're going to say, hey, I like that. Now, number two, blood pressure medications, they're very, very toxic to the body. Okay?
Right.
Hibiscus tea, usually it has strong anti-cancer properties as it lowers blood pressure, but it just naturally improves the blood flow. Okay? So there's another benefit. Hibiscus tea... it's just about dirt cheap compared to the price of a blood pressure drug.
Yeah, well, I drink tea every morning, so now I'll start drinking that tea instead.
You're a good man. I knew I liked you the moment you called. Let me know how this works out, all right?
All right. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So let's just say the blood pressure's high. What do you want to do? Well, if it's the kidneys, walking barefoot in the grass or the dirt, maybe not where there's a brood of vipers where you can get bit by a snake or something. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. You know, there's a drug for everything, right? Well, if the physician doesn't find out what the cause of your problem is, then drugs sound like a pretty good plan. And you can always tell if they spend 2 or 3 minutes figuring you out, they're just trying to figure out what drugs. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, sir.
How are you?
Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's been going on with me. My doctor put me on a medicine called Flomax.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking the generic of it, Tamsulosin, and don't have to get up as much during the night,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that last gentleman was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't afford to get it before it ran out this month.
Is it a very expensive drug?
Well, not for me, but I just don't have the money to get it right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to pry into your life. I don't even know what the price of Flomax is. Sorry, I'm wasting your time. Go ahead.
Okay. When I ran out of it 3 days ago, and now I'm getting up 7-8 times a night, and my flow is just minimal compared to what it is when I'm taking that medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there is a natural thing I can do and get off.
Yeah. I'm just telling you what I like. And this is going to come out of left field, but if you were to get on YouTube, you could type in the name Katie Bowman. KatyBowman. You know, I've recommended these things, so I'm blue in the face, and I'll ask people, well, did you look at it? And they go, no, I didn't look at it. So I'm just giving a general recommendation, but she has what's called pelvic floor exercises. Maybe you should just look up the pelvic floor exercises, because we're trying to improve the muscular tone surrounding the prostate. Well,
that's funny that you say that, because my low back was crushed back in 2000. My neck's been broken twice.
Oh, my word. I bet you have a unique story, don't you?
Yes, sir.
But he's blessed.
I'm blessed by God. And
well, obviously, you have a radiant, beautiful wife. That's a pretty good blessing right there, isn't it?
Yes. And
thank you.
And she's smart, too.
Okay. I haven't been able to do, waist exercises, like sit-ups and stuff.
Well, that's a different problem. But what I want you to do is just keep an open mind. What if you have, I'll tell you what, I'm going to say it this way. What if because of your injury, and I tell you what, I feel for you, man. You've definitely got a tougher road to hoe than the average person does that has a normal body that hasn't been fractured and crushed. But what if you have some muscles that are so sticky and so dysfunctional and so pain-sensitive that they're just not even working right and you're not even getting blood flow through them? Well, I think your prostate deserves some blood flow, so why don't you look up those short videos, and what I want you to do is when you watch her demonstrate them on YouTube, what you can do is just say, all right, I'm just going to attempt this and see what it feels like. But it's really going to be telling if you try these and you say, you know, these are difficult. I'm going to go, aha, now we're in business. Because the key to all this is restoring function. If you tell me you can't do a sit-up because of a problem, what do you think your life would be like? Excuse me. What do you think the health of your body would be like if you could easily perform a sit-up without any problems at all? That would be restored function. So that's what I want you to work toward.
Right.
But these are, now, as long as you pay your electric bill and your internet bill, they're free. But the moment you don't pay those, so if I don't even know if you have access to a computer at all.
Well, I've got a smartphone.
Well, that's all you need then.
Right.
How big is the screen? About a half inch by a half inch? Or is it like one of those big honking ones?
No, it's about a medium size, about 2 by 3 or 4.
Well, is that easy enough to see a person demonstrating the pelvic floor exercises?
I would suppose so.
Man, I want you to attack this like there's no tomorrow, but I want to give you some more advice, if I may.
Oh yes, sir, please.
I am a huge fan of bee pollen.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Just loose bee pollen granules.
Right.
It's got
to
be.
Used to have some of that, ran out of it.
Yeah. Some people take what's called beta-cytosterols.
Say that one more time.
They're called beta, B-E-T-A, and the second word is cyto, S-I-T-O, and then sterols. I didn't say steroids, sterols, and that's S-T-E-R-O-L-S.
Okay.
Beta-cytosterols. These plant sterols sometimes really improve prostate, so you've got nothing to lose. I'm probably going to be the most excited person of all time if you try to do those exercises and you call me and say, hey, those were difficult. And I'm going to go, you're right, they're difficult because nothing's working right. Let's get to work right. So if you want to unblock yourself, if you want to unstick that area, if you want to get blood flow to the prostate, I mean, the last time that I checked, you've got to get more oxygen to every organ and gland if you want them to work right. And just briefly, without going into details about, you know, saying that your low back was crushed, I'm just going to choose to believe you and say, we got some work to do here.
Yes, but, sir. My gut muscles are non-existent.
Oh,
right.
Yes, they are.
Well, they're very, very, very weak, you know.
Well, I could tell in your wife's voice that you go around the house flexing constantly so you can get her attention. Is that true?
Well,
partially, okay. Well, and what's going to happen is you have to put some good therapeutic stress on those muscles to get them to respond. And if you at least take the first step and do this, all we can do is see if there's a tremendous improvement or benefit. You know, another thing that I like a whole lot, and just take this loosely also, anything to do with the prostate, I really like the idea of the mineral zinc.
I've got zinc.
Excellent. I always love pumpkin seed oil.
I like pumpkin seeds. My wife bakes them in the oven. And
wait just a second. I've got my pencil handy. Now, what exactly are your GPS coordinates, and when is the next time you're roasting pumpkin seeds? Because I just might find a way to be in the neighborhood at that time.
Just a little butter and a little bit of Tony's Asheries.
You're torturing me now. I love pumpkin seeds in the oven.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing about October the 31st,
exactly.
Is buying pumpkins and getting seeds.
Right, that's what my wife does. When the pumpkin starts going bad, she scoops all the seeds out and bakes them.
Hey, did I mention I like your wife?
Yes, you
okay,
did.
Okay, good.
I'm married to a Cajun chef.
Oh, my word. See, not only do you have brains, beauty, but you've got cooking. That is like the perfect triad.
Yes, sir.
You can't even. You couldn't do any better if you wanted to.
I'd love to bring you some of my gumbo.
Well, no one's stopping you.
Well, we're preparing field for.
And
okay, if gas is $1.39 a gallon, I'll pay you $2.50.
Okay, and I know Randy Featherston too. By the way, used to come down to the radio station quite frequently and sit with him.
Oh, man. Well, he's good at visiting, isn't he?
Oh, yes, sir. But that was years ago and before all the, you know, neck breaking and low back breaking. Well, all that mess. My life has completely changed. I've been paralyzed from the neck down when the first time my neck broke and recovered from that. Took months and months and months.
I know this is a total waste of your time. I'm trying to think the movie that I watched a long time ago, the Bruce Lee story.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, his back was fractured. And I'm such an incredible force of will. Maybe if I could just say that there's admirable qualities, but some people do not give up.
Right.
They just have this determination about them. Or I started to say stubbornness, but I meant just force of will, where they just really want to improve themselves.
Yes,
and
sir.
That's really your charge right now. So maybe you can. But the thing of it is, if you want to look up neck exercises for injured necks, look those up from Katie Bowman. I like her a whole lot, but she's just a simple. When I say simple, I meant she's just an easy person, just like you and me. She's just an everyday person.
Okay. Katie Bowman, I'll look her up as soon as I get off the phone
okay.
with you.
Good deal.
And is there a specific thing?
Yeah, pelvic floor exercises.
Pelvic floor exercises and neck exercises?
Yeah, you can do, or let's just say that your pinky finger's not right. Won't you look up those?
Okay.
Or your wrist, or your knee, or your little toe, or your feet.
By the way, about the past week, I've been getting some really sharp pain on my left side, lower left side. And then yesterday it was on my lower side, as in, I think, kidney.
Well, I didn't catch the last part. You said where on the right side?
Lower right, right where the top of the hip bone is.
Well, is it directly on the side, or is there toward the rear and the flank area, like over the kidney?
Yeah, in the back, and radiating around.
Well, you know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of people I see that, you know, have prostate problems, and doctors not even one time ever consider improving the function of the kidneys. And maybe they don't know how. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
My doctor has never mentioned my kidneys.
Well, I think that the kidneys are one of the most valuable organs of all time. And, of course, what I'm after is when the kidneys are in great working order, it's really hard for a person to hurt and be in pain. So when a person has a lot of arthritis, you're thinking, we want the kidneys to be in better working order.
Yes, sir. I don't have arthritis, but...
You have a little osteo.
The doctor tells me I have
osteoporosis.
Well,
spine.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is between your neck and your lower back, you've got pain, right?
Well, yes, sir, sometimes.
All right. Are you telling me that your neck feels like $1 million?
Oh, no.
Are you telling me that your lower back feels absolutely fabulous? There's no way it can be better?
No.
So let's view this as there's a golden opportunity to improve yourself. And let's hit the ground running. Let's try to improve you. And, of course, I realize radio is just radio.
Yeah.
I can't examine you precisely on the radio, but I tell you what, if your kidneys are in better working order, you know what I think that you'll see? I think you'll tell me you have more ambition, more drive, and more motivation. And your wife is going to make several observations about you. She's going to say that you're becoming unstoppable around the house.
Oh, well.
And she's going to find that you're doing more work, and that's a byproduct of feeling better.
Yes, sir. I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. So that's just the limitation of radio. I can't solve everything, but I want to encourage you and help you. So the things I've told you, man, who can stop you? You can hit the ground running right now.
Yes, sir, I will. Mm-hmm. And, well, I don't know about running, but I'll go.
Well,
with
that's
that
a figure of speech.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm at. How far is it from here to Kilgore? About 31 miles.
About that, yes, sir.
Okay, I've got my track shoes on. I think I could make it there by lunchtime.
Well, come on.
Let me think. Eight. Yeah, that's like a marathon, man. I don't know. I'm gonna have to try that.
Okay.
Hey, I really appreciate your phone call. Thanks a whole bunch.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day, folks. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, let me give you the phone number. I probably don't do that near enough. It's area code 903-586-5257. Talked to several people this week that said, we tried to get in, we just couldn't, so we'll try again. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question, I would think. Why would I be calling you if I felt like $1 million? Anyway, I've been listening, and I am going to try the hibiscus tea. I've been on blood pressure medication for about 15 years. But I was an alcoholic for 32 years. and I've been totally clean and sober, thank God, for the past 3 years.
Oh man, I'm so thankful. That's great.
But I've always felt like I had trouble focusing on the task at hand.
Well,
and since being sober and getting all of that stuff out of my system, I've realized that part of me is getting worse, not better.
Mm-hmm.
I am so easily distracted. I mean, I can start to do something and literally within seconds forget what I started to do.
They really irritated me in Jacksonville when they allowed the Wingstop to go in across the street from me. I've never been there to eat. There's a yogurt shop, too. Hadn't been there either. Doesn't matter. But there was a beautiful oak tree, and this oak tree had just a it was a specimen. So when fall and winter would get here, all the leaves would go, but I'd look across the street, and I said, you know what? To me, that looks like a healthy brain cell. The
right.
Branches are going out. They're just full. One of the things that I've found over and over again when you look at pictures of brain cells when people mm-hmm. consume drugs or sugar, just refined
right.
sugar, it just causes all the branches to break out off, so you have poor neural connections. And, of course, anything that generates inflammation within your brain is going to cause you to have very foggy thinking. It's going to be hard to focus on the task at hand. You're going to get easily distracted. You're not going to be near as productive of what your potential is. And see, I've got to believe that you've got a tremendous, great potential. If we can find a way to improve you. And so, let me give you two or three ideas.
Okay.
I'm actually trying to be serious about this.
Oh, that's fine.
What we're going to find is you probably have an allergy to either wheat or sugar or corn. And if I'm wrong about that, hey, no harm done. There's nothing I can do to mess you up. But what if we discovered that maybe your brain is just in a continual state of inflammation and irritation? We might want to go through some very detailed protocols to try to restore function in a short period of time where you can decide for yourself, oh my word, I really like the idea of being clear right now. I like the idea of being able to focus and do the task at hand. I don't want all my friends thinking I have ADD or ADHD or whatever the terms are used.
Well, I've felt like I've had that all my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't, you know, because my son, when he was growing up, was diagnosed with that during the time period that was the thing to diagnose kids with.
Well, and what they do is they give drugs that to try to increase mental clarity. But I can just tell you right now, all the drugs that are given,
yep.
it's like, have you ever heard the phrase whipping a tired horse?
Yeah.
You ever watched the movie called True Grit when
of course.
Was it the girl had a snake bite or something like that?
Yeah.
And he's trying to race her, and of course the horse just completely gives everything and just gone, heart attack.
Yep.
Get a new horse. But to make a long story short, they can take drugs that are not much different than speed or cocaine, and they can give them to you, and they can force that frontal lobe of your brain. Let me start over here. The largest part of the brain is called the prefrontal cortex, or if you want to call it the frontal lobe, it's just right there in the front of your forehead, above your eyes.
Right.
When a person wakes up in the morning, you want your frontal lobe to work properly, which means you wake up and go, man, that was a good night's rest. I've got stuff I want to accomplish today. So, just like I told the last guy, you want to be able to get up in the morning and you want to have ambition and drive and motivation. You want to have creativity. You don't want to say, oh, my word, I'm in a brain fog. I've got cobwebs. What am I going to do? So, part of this is trying to remove any source of irritation or inflammation. And I know that I'm oversimplifying this, but if you say, what about monosodium glutamate, Dr. Morgan, or what about aspartame, which is an artificial sweetener, MSG they put like in Chinese food or...
Right, yeah, I'm familiar with what it is.
If you go like to Chick-fil-A, that's what they have in their chicken sandwiches.
Right.
Just a chemical. A bad chemical, by the way. But hey, right? Chick-fil-A has not called me to ask me my thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. I would be glad to tell them. I'd say drop the MSG and just have natural chicken. Whether it's Splenda, but my point is, some of these chemicals that are in processed food and junk food, oh, they play a number on the brain. Oh, my word. You want to totally prevent a person from being their very best? We just need to put them on junk food and fast food. That'll sure do it. So sometimes getting rid of those, finding out what your food allergy is, or maybe this is just a different way of thinking of it. And I'm going to say loosely, my interpretation of the word allergy means anything that might upset normal function, whether that's a food or a substance or a chemical or a dye or a food additive or even something else that you're in contact with. If you told me the other day I was in the store and this lady walks by with the worst smelling perfume of all time. I'm not trying to talk bad about her, but guess which? I did the word repent. I did a 180-degree about face, and I moved away because it was just like over the top potent.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, using my imagination, that's what they gassed the troops with in the Iraq War from Saddam Hussein. It was like Estee Lauder. But you're trying to find out how do we get rid of this stuff right here, but we want to rebuild your body, and there's several ways of doing it. Number one, I am a huge believer that we've got to control insulin levels if you want your brain to come back online again. And so, what do you think about eating tuna fish salad for breakfast?
I would have no problem with it.
Then, I tell you what, you're starting today. Because you're starting off with protein and fat instead of sugar. Now, I realize you might say, well, I've got to have like 50 wheat thin crackers with it or Ritz crackers. Well, that defeats the purpose. But if you had tuna fish salad, I mean, you could just make that taste so, well, that's just my opinion.
Well,
but I'm giving you the easiest protein to digest.
What all would you put in your tuna salad?
I wouldn't put anything in it. I'd just command my wife. I would say, woman, actually, you can see I'm going down the wrong course right now, don't
you?
Yes,
you are.
Okay.
This
is not going to go well. All right, I just made a huge, colossal tactical error right there. I will pay everyone that heard this $10 cash if they won't tell my wife what I said. No, they know I'm just joking. That was a bad joke. No, I tell
that's
you,
right.
You've heard the phrase before that you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Absolutely.
No, I would say pretty please. And, you know, the reason that comes to my mind, last Saturday, you know, this time last week, I'm trying to burn a bunch of limbs from two trees, you know, that are down.
Yeah.
The yard's a mess. But I'm working on it. But the kids come out there, and Molly Ann brings me this plate of tuna salad. I'm going, what? But I'm just telling you, I didn't ask for it, but it was just like a total blessing.
Right.
And she used organic apples that were purchased at Walmart. I mean, I even went to the Walmart in Jacksonville yesterday, and lo and behold, what did they have in the fruit aisle? They
really?
Had organic Granny Smith apples, green ones. I like
them.
And they were either Pink Ladies or Galas, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But delicious, free of pesticides. It's what you want for your brain.
Sure.
But I am a huge fan. I love onions. I love celery. I love pickles. I'm not so much a fan of deviled eggs. That's kind of like I was traumatized as a child.
Right.
It's been really hard to me get... Oh, I'm just joking, but I just don't care for deviled eggs because...
Probably too many family reunions, huh?
Exactly. That's how it happened. I'm going, really? These eggs are wiggling a little bit. I mean...
Yeah.
They've been sitting on the table with flies for about 15 hours. I don't know if they're safe to eat.
Exactly.
But if you had something like tuna fish, your wife could, excuse me, my wife could cut up an apple. She could cut up other stuff. She could add some pecans or walnuts. Man, raisins, I'm crazy about all those things. It tastes so good. But the reason I'm saying fish to start your day with is it's good, healthy fat, and it's some of the easiest protein to assimilate.
Okay.
And all we want, one of the articles that I was going to read but did not read because I'd rather take phone calls, they were showing that people that are on low-protein diets have a lot more strokes than those that don't. And so they were saying just eating fish several times a week greatly reduces the incidence of stroke. Well, I'm sure you've heard something like that. I can't make this stuff up. But if you had... I'm sorry?
I've always heard that fish oil was good for you.
Yeah, it sure can be. If it's not rancid, it's real good for you.
Right.
I mean, I made myself a little protein drink this morning about 6 o'clock, and I didn't take fish oil, but I had some flax oil and olive oil, and I just poured it right in the blender.
Right.
Of course, the bananas look like they might be about half rotten, but who me? Worry about a dark brown banana when I peel it?
Exactly.
Just surely it'll be good if I blend it up.
Well, not only that, it's good in banana bread if you're going to eat bread.
Well, I know this. I was sort of joking, but they were pretty dark. But I thought, yeah, I think they're okay. But I don't have any issues in my stomach right now. I don't have any burping or belching or gas.
Sure.
So I think that they're fine for me.
Right.
So you might try something like that right there, but you've got to start feeding your brain the nutrients it needs. And so you're talking about a whole foods diet. You're talking about meat and vegetables and a little bit of fruit. Now, personally, it's really, really hard to get rid of inflammation if you're shoveling grains and starches and sugar in your body.
Well, and I'm not.
Good.
Well, I take that back. The sugar, you would be appalled.
Well,
that's what I put into my body.
I'm
a thin person, but when I got off of alcohol, I substituted drinking Cokes and, you know, soft drinks. And I, even though it's been 3 years, I still consume about a 2-liter bottle a day of Coke. And
well,
I know that's wrong.
How about we start switching? Why don't you just try cutting the Coke in half and
right.
just weeding yourself off of it and switch to kombucha or herbal tea? What if you have to add a little bit of honey to the herbal tea or a little bit of lemon juice or lime juice?
Oh, I got no problem with that.
Well, give it a shot. Let's see if we can make a transfer.
Right.
And the thing of it is, even that study that I read about where people wrote down that when they wrote a thank you note to somebody,
yep.
all of a sudden they start exercising more and taking better care of their bodies.
Wow.
There must be something to that, right?
It must be.
Or is that just a happenstance that people say, thank you, thank you, thank you, I appreciate you, and all of a sudden they go off the deep end? No. Gratitude and thankfulness, it's got to be the greatest elixir of all time.
Sure.
All
you
right.
said drinking kombucha.
It's called kombucha. It's a fermented beverage. To me, I think they taste great. And I don't drink a lot of it. Can I say I drink maybe about a half of one a week, maybe?
Okay.
But, it's supper time. Yeah, I just get these little bitty glasses, and I just pour kombucha in them, or the girls or the boys do. And the kids drink kombucha almost every day, a little bit. It's just a fermented beverage. And so if I told you that, I know some people say cabbage is rotten if it turns to sauerkraut. That's not my interpretation. I'm going to
right.
say it's fermented, but it increases the nutrient density. Or if you take cream and it turns into sour cream, that improves
right.
it. It just has a sour flavor to it, which
right.
I like that stuff.
Yeah, I do too.
Or if you told me old-fashioned sausage, you know, like summer sausage, well, that's a fermented food. Or if you said, Dr. Morgan, do you like pickles? I'd say, of course. Well,
right.
those are fermented cucumbers, right?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, but fermented foods are the way to go.
Well, that's good, because I love everything you just named.
Mm-hmm, good.
And olives. I could eat olives.
Olives are a fermented
as
food.
As a meal.
Olives are a fermented food. Way to go. How
well,
about pickled okra, pickled beets?
Yeah, yeah. I never thought about those actually being fermented.
Well, number one, I mean, all this is old technology. It's nothing high-tech or new. So what you've got is peoples that lived for thousands of years before we did, and they figured out how to... I'm sure Lucille Ball was not the first one to crush grapes with her feet.
Right.
Although she is quite entertaining.
Absolutely.
But what you have is... you have people eating fermented foods, whether you want to call it wine. I know
right.
you could say beer's in there, but I'm not talking... That's just one example of how you can take, corn or wheat and turn it into an alcoholic beverage. But right now, you're wanting to improve yourself, so and to improve brain function, why don't you just try, put it to the test today and tell me if it works. Don't eat any junk food. Eat tuna fish salad.
Okay.
Technically, I can't stop you from eating it three times a day if you want to. If you want to have chicken salad tomorrow, if you want to have a salad and a steak, but usually I'm into the low starch foods. So that's it.
And what do you think of canned tuna versus fresh?
Well, I'm very pragmatic. I'm okay with using canned tuna. In my fantasy world, you and I would go purchase a boat that's seaworthy.
Right.
It would only cost, $300,000, but it would be seaworthy.
Sure.
And then we would buy the specialized rods and reels and the gear that would cost, $30,000. Now, that's what I want to do, but in the real world. So we'll use canned tuna. But then again, why don't you just for kicks walk down the frozen aisle section where they sell seafood and see if you can find some tuna steaks?
Sure. I have. Believe it or not, my dad went to Alaska, and I have a bunch of salmon steaks that they caught up there, and he brought me.
That sounds like a winner. I love that idea.
Well, I'll start fixing them and...
See, if you wanted to, you can say, well, I don't have tuna fish right now, but I have salmon. Well, fine by me.
Right, right.
You know what my wife does? When she cooks salmon, she cooks the skin side down in a skillet.
Right.
And I'm waiting there hoping that she'll feed me the skin, but she doesn't. She takes it to Gus. Gus gets all the skin action. He's a big, furry, poof ball of a...
Right.
Big, huge tomcat. He's got more hair than
Esau did. So the collagen exists in fish skin as well as chicken skin.
Exactly, it does.
I've heard you numerous times talk about don't throw the skin out of chicken.
Well, if it weren't for collagen, you'd be one big puddle of water, and so would I.
Right.
Collagen keeps water molecules organized within the body, so the idea that chicken skin is bad is just ludicrous.
Right.
Or that cooking meat with bones is just bad. It's ridiculous. You need that stuff. If you want to have the ability to have strength and to have a strong backbone, I thought about making some collagen and sending it to Mitch McConnell, but I don't know if he'll drink it, because I would hope that it would strengthen his spine or his backbone.
Right.
That was really
good
a joke.
Good luck with that.
No, I'm doing good to take care of myself. I was just joking about that. All right. Well, I sure hope I've helped you today.
Yeah, I'm going to fix me a salmon steak with tuna on top.
You bet, you're good man. Thanks a whole bunch. Have a good weekend, man.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.